This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Owenson is our senior pastor. This sermon is part two in a series called Generation Next, a study of the book of 2 Peter. Today's message is titled, When to Look No Further, the All-Sufficiency of Jesus. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Now I know that there are many people in this room today who need to know that truth. Who need to know that God is in charge no matter what's going on in your life. Because your life isn't right and perfect, neither is mine. All of us need to know. All of us need to know that God ordains what is good for us today. We're going to be talking about that in His Word as we learn what it means more and more to follow Him in the book of 2 Peter. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. And we're going to be talking about when to look no further, because when we come to faith in Christ, there is no place else to look. Many of you read this week in USA Today. The great high apostle of American misfits is interviewed, Mike Tyson. And it's pretty amazing. Everybody knows Mike Tyson. Of course, Mike Tyson is a boxer. Everybody knows Mike Tyson. Men, women, everybody knows about Mike Tyson. This is what he said. He said, I'll never be happy. He said, I believe I'll die alone. I would want it that way. I've been a loner all my life with my secrets and my pain. I'm really lost, but I'm trying to find myself. I'm really a sad, pathetic case. And not one of us would disagree. He is. The divorced father of six is blunt, gregarious, funny, vulgar, outrageous, sad, angry, bitter, and at times introspective about the opportunities he squandered over the last two decades. He squandered over $400 million. He discusses his drug use, the weed got me, he says, lack of self-esteem and sexual addiction. My whole life has been a waste. I've been a failure, he says. I just want to escape. I'm really embarrassed with myself and my life. I want to be a missionary. How about that, sports fans? I want to be a missionary. I think I could do that while keeping my dignity without letting people know they chased me out of the country. I want to get this part of my life over as soon as possible. In this country, nothing good is going to come of me. I'm so stigmatized. There's no way I can elevate myself. They would give the late Jeffrey Dahmer a second chance before they gave me another one. If you saw a police lineup and saw Tyson and Dahmer and they asked who killed and ate those people, you'd pick me, not Jeffrey. Wow. What a mess. What a sad guy. I love his honesty, don't you? He's not playing any games. He's searching, he's seeking, he's hungry. He's hungry for more. He's dissatisfied. And yet when we look at a guy like Dahmer, when we look at a guy like Tyson, the reality is that a lot of us are also hungry and dissatisfied. A lot of us as Christians have a deep pit in our hearts that isn't full. At least it's not full all the time. It's empty a lot of time. And if the truth be known, we're hungry right now. And so we fill ourselves with all kinds of stuff. And you know what? Food, work, sex, addictions, other kinds of stuff, money. A friend of mine, apparently thinking I have that problem with money, called and sent me this email. Because I am your friend, I want to tell you some things about money. It can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy a bed, but not sleep. It can buy a clock, but not time. It can buy a book, but not knowledge. It can buy a position, but not respect. It can buy medicine, but not health. It can buy blood, but not life. It can buy sex, but not love. Money isn't everything. Often causes pain and suffering. I tell you all this because I'm your friend, and as your friend, I want to take away your pain and suffering, so send all your money to me and I will suffer for you. I love that. I have a good friend. And he said, I accept cash, money orders, personal checks, cashier checks, bags of gold, bars of platinum. Please, no children. They will be returned. Now, I like that, but it strikes too close to home. Because I think we got this sneaking suspicion that a whole bunch more wouldn't be just the thing we need. I suspect a whole bunch, and get rid of the kids, you know, take them away. 2-3 months, that's cool. And maybe I can get my life together. It's the suburban way almost. If we have all that stuff, then maybe it'll work. And it doesn't. I like the humor, but it's too close to home. We're always looking for something. And some of us manage to fake it pretty good on the outside, right? Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and you don't fool me. I know that some of you are here today who will never tell anybody when they ask you, how you doing? How you doing? You say, fine, I'm doing good. You know, yeah, you will say, doing all right. I'm doing all right. That's what you'll say. But you're aching inside. I know that. Because there are times when people say, how you doing? I say, great, doing good. And I ache. And I just can't talk about it. I might cry. Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 12. I'm not going to read it now. I want you to read it later in the Message by Eugene Peterson, if you have that. I love how he puts so much of the Message. He makes Ecclesiastes understandable. Solomon says, I said to myself, let's go for it. Experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. Oh, how I prospered. I left all my predecessors in Jerusalem far behind. Left them behind in the dust. What's more, I kept a clear head through it all. Everything I wanted, I took. This is what he said. I never said no to myself. I gave in to every impulse, held back nothing. I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of every task. My reward to myself for a hard day's work. Then I took a look at everything I'd done, looked at all the sweat and hard work. When I looked, I saw nothing but smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it. Nothing. I think when people are honest, there are different categories of people, and you might be in one of these categories. Number one, you might be basically satisfied with fits of discomfort and discontent. There's some of us, we say, how you doing? I am pretty satisfied. But you go through fits of discontent. And those fits of discontent, everybody in your family knows about them. Guys, your wife knows, your kids know, women, your husband knows, they know. And you don't stay there long, you get over it, you cover it up, throw a little dirt on the fires of discontent. You're basically content with fits and outbreaks of discontent. There are some who are basically, who are dissatisfied, right now, dissatisfied, but they're still optimistic. They haven't become jaded in life. And they don't have what they want, but they're still looking for the golden ring. Still looking. Then there's some who are dissatisfied, but they're like that Proverbs passage. They aren't going to let on because they got to hold up a spiritual image. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. They're dying inside. And then there are those who are dissatisfied, but they're already dead. And they don't hold back. They're cynical. They're skeptical. They're angry. They're dissatisfied, and they've given up, and they're basically dead. Dead inside. You maybe have never heard of the name Carmen Boyle. She was the 1996 Olympic gold medalist in the luge. Everybody know what the luge is? It's the craziest event. When asked, what is the strategy for winning? She said, strategy? Lie flat and try not to die. I love that. Lie flat and try not to die. There are a lot of people that are dead already, walking around. Just dead. And it might be you. But a lot of us are looking, and we Christians are the same way. You look, and I've been around just long enough to know a lot of these experiences that down through the years, Christians have been looking for. Things from time to time pop up within the Christian world. You remember hearing about the Toronto experience? I'd forgotten totally about that until this week when I was preparing this message. You remember it? No? It was the laughing thing. You remember the laughing thing? No? None of you? Well, it was the weirdest thing. I mean, evangelists would be on TV, and all they'd be doing, they wouldn't be teaching the Bible, they wouldn't even be sharing Christ, they'd be laughing. And the people who come on and get near them would just laugh. And it was this contagious, and it came from Toronto to North Florida, and people went there, and it was just like 5-10 years ago. Fads. We get hungry too. We get to the point, even in our Christianity, where we're looking for something more. If we think, just have that experience, just read that book, just get there, then wow, that'll really be good. And Peter comes along and he says in this book to us, you guys simply cannot look any further than Jesus. Peter's an old guy now. He's been following Jesus for 35 years. This is after 35 years after the resurrection. And the early church to which he's speaking is having a tendency to do just what many of us do after we've been following Jesus for a long time. We're dissatisfied. We think we've missed it somehow. Some of you come to church, you say, look at all those people. They just look so nice and handsome and gorgeous and drive nice cars. They look so spiritual. and I have missed it somehow. I mean, what was it? Is there a special handshake? Is there a special blessing? Well, I've missed it because I don't have it. Peter says, no. Look no further than Jesus. And because there were people that were creeping into the church who were telling them to go beyond Jesus. And I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Let's read the text. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace. Here's the new stuff. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Peter's telling us two very simple truths. One, you can only experience God through Jesus. Secondly, once you've experienced God through Jesus, you have unlimited resources at your disposal. Those are the two truths. Very simple, right? You could have come up with them. Any of us could have done that looking at this text. But we got to look at it a little bit closer. So let's take a look at this. You can only really know God through Jesus Christ. And this point hinges on the word and. Hinges on the word and. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God. Everybody say it with me. And Jesus our Lord. And you see, here's the point. Here's the point. In the early church where Peter is, you know, he's been told that he's going to die. He's been told he's going to be martyred for Christ's name. And then the tradition tells us that under Nero, both Peter and Paul were crucified. The tradition says that Peter asked to be crucified head down so that he didn't have to be crucified like his Lord. He didn't deserve that. Well, we don't know if that tradition is true, but it sounds like Peter. At any rate, he knows he's going to be executed for his faith in Christ. He's going to go out big for Jesus. And before he does that, the big fisherman comes to these people and he says, you guys have got to stop listening to these new people who are creeping into the church. And they're teachers. And the church was saying, oh, these are wonderful teachers. Listen to what they have to say. This is what they were saying. If you really want to experience God, you have got to buy into this knowledge, these three steps that we have to tell you. Somebody say, nah, I've heard about this before. It's the Gnostics, right? The Gnosticism. Gnostics that taught this special knowledge. Yeah, no, not really. That wasn't until the second century. But they were the early guys that taught this kind of a thing. They said, we've got a special knowledge. If you just follow our 12-step program, we'll get you right with God. And you can experience Him in all of His fullness. And Peter comes along and says, that's a crock. Don't buy it. You want to experience God, you have to have the true knowledge of Him, true knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can experience God. You've got to understand. What were the Greeks always looking for? One word. Sophia. Which is what? Wisdom. The Greeks all wanted the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. And these guys were coming along and saying, we've got the secret handshake. This is what you got to do. You got to do this and you can really experience God. And Peter says, no, it's Jesus and it is no more. You can't infuse this new knowledge onto the gospel. That's called syncretism. That's what the Catholic Church did centuries ago when they took over Mexico. They brought in the saints. They brought in Jesus. They brought in Mary. They brought in all of that kind of stuff. And they just took the Indian religions and put them together and gave them new names. And so today you got Indians and a lot of people in South America, Latin America, Catholics. Are they? No, they're still worshiping the gods as they understood them in the past. And Peter says, you can't do that. That's syncretism. You've got to stay with the true gospel. But we still have the tendency to do that today. Some of you back in college, and this dates you, remember TM. You remember that? Transcendental Meditation. Remember that little skinny guy, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi? You know, the beard and the hair. And everybody used to go to meditation. Remember that? Yeah, thank you. I wasn't the only one that was alive back then. That's good. And he was constantly, and so Christians were saying, well, that's good, meditation, we need to meditate. I mean, the Beach Boys meditate, we ought to meditate. So they brought it into Christianity. They brought it in. But the problem is that Eastern meditation says clear your minds. Christian meditation says fill your minds with God's word. Different thing. So we just can't take it in the same way. And then in the 80s and the 90s, up to the present, the New Age movement, you've heard of that. Old age is new age. But all the old age, you know, bringing in all of these ideas like, well, really powerful stuff that comes up in books like The Chicken Soup for the Soul book. How many of you, now this is not rip you off because I've read them too. How many of you have read those books, any of them? Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul or whatever. A lot of us have read them. And Dick Canfield's a great guy. I'm reading one of his books right now. Great stuff. The problem is that he's got all this great Christian theology. I'll tell you, he goes to church every week. I know that. He goes to a Christian church every week. And he's read all of the New Age stuff too. And he's putting it all together. Can't do that, Peter says. It's only Jesus. Look no further than Jesus. You got it. A man and a woman are driving down the same road at the same time, and as they pass each other, the woman leans out of the window, points and yells, "Pig!" The man immediately leans out of his window, shakes his fist, and shouts back, "Hag!" They continue in their way, and as the man rounds the next corner, he slams into a huge pig that had wandered into the road. The moral of the story, if only men would listen. And some of you women say, yes. I know, it's hard for us guys to listen, isn't it? But it's hard for any of us to listen. It's hard for any of us to really listen when the hunger is so intense inside. When you've got to be fulfilled, when you need more, it's hard to listen to the reality that Jesus is all you ever need. And we do that. We think, a new worship style, a new book. What's that new thing? What's that new preacher? We got to go to the new thing. And Peter would say, no, it's Jesus. And you cannot get any more than you need from Jesus. Let me tell you what the world needs. And I think Peter would say this to us. As he's saying it to the first century, he says, what the world needs is Christians who have an idea and an unalterable commitment to Jesus Christ and who know that Jesus is all you need. And that you and I are not trying to be pluralistic Christians who say, well, yeah, we can just infuse a little New Age movement onto this thing, and that's cool. You believe whatever you want, and that's cool. The world does not need Christians who smile like this and say, oh, that's wonderful, you can believe anything you want and go to hell. They need Christians who say, that's wrong. And this is right. Peter would say, don't mess around with that other stuff. The world needs Christians who are exclusively, unalterably committed to Jesus Christ and are not afraid to say so, but are willing to say it graciously. We need to have a gracious exclusivism where we interact with people and we say to people, yeah, no, absolutely, Jesus is the only way. That's right. You mean I'm going to hell unless I accept this Messiah of yours? That's right. We ought to weep when we talk about hell. But we ought to talk about hell. And we ought to talk about the fact that Jesus is the only way. He is, as he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But we need to do it graciously. You say, how do I do that? My pagan friend illustrates this perfectly. I got a great pagan friend. And he didn't buy a bit of what I believe. He doesn't realize how well-trained and well-educated I am. He doesn't listen. He didn't care about the degrees that are on my wall. I didn't care about the books that I've read. I didn't care about any of that. But you know what? He'll talk to me about Christ from time to time. Talks about Jesus. I'll bring up God's stuff. We'll talk. He'll talk. And he's very, very, very kind. And he loves me. And I love him. But he doesn't buy a bit of it. He is graciously, exclusively committed to paganism. Now, he doesn't sacrifice chickens in the backyard or anything like that. He's just an average, run-of-the-mill American pagan. Why can't we do that back? Why can't we look people in the eye and say, Jesus is really what you need? You need to have Jesus. That's all you need. And be kind and loving and warm. Why can't we? That's what the world needs. We get so ticked at people when they contradict us. But they need people who understand that you can really only know God through Jesus Christ. Secondly, they need us to know that once you really know God through Jesus Christ, you have unlimited resources. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In Christ, you have everything, he says in verse 2. He says, grace and peace is multiplied to you. Why? How? Through the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. You see, there it is. There's that peace. There's that grace. There's that. We still are hungry. We still get dissatisfied. There's many times we go to church, that's great, lasts us for a day, and then we start looking around. I need Jesus and something else. I tell you, I need something else. I need something for my life. We start thinking about it. We start looking around because we don't feel loved and we don't have any peace. But Peter says grace and peace is multiplied to you through the true knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. It's there. It's yours. You can't get loved any more from God, any more than He already loves you. I get these letters along with the others on the board of Key Life. And letters that just break your heart. Like this man who says that Satan keeps telling me, you're such a sinner and a hypocrite. Why bother praying? First, you have to be forgiven always. And you know you're not going to change your ways. So don't bother. So I've been buying into that lie for 6-7 years. A lot of Christians that live like that. Yeah, I keep sinning. I just kept having to ask for forgiveness. What a mess I am. I'm a hypocrite. And we live like that instead of live like sons and daughters of grace. I never believed that anyone loved or cared about me at all. In my depression, others would say things like, it's okay, God still loves you. Yeah, give me a gun. A lot of people still feel that way. We say God loves you. Every Sunday ought to be a time where you realize this is the place where you need to understand God loves you. And yet many of you hear that and you still don't feel it. You don't feel it. One other guy says, I'm an awful sinner, but I'm His. And the sin may be there, but it is rendered powerless over me. That's something you got to take by faith. Grace and peace is multiplied to us. In Christ, you have all you need for grace and peace right now. That's why I love that song that we just sang about God's sovereignty. He really is. He really is all we need. Peter says, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. And the word Zoe, life, means life here and life eternally. Everything we need for life is given to us in Jesus Christ. Life and godliness is given to us in Jesus. And life goes so quickly. Just came back yesterday from a family reunion down in South Florida. Karen's down there. It was all of Karen's side. Karen, her sister, her two brothers, and all of their kids, and dad, and just that group. 25 of us. We did some astounding things like play wiffle ball in the street. You know, we just played a lot of fun together. And 25. Let me tell you something. Jesse, my daughter, is the youngest of that 25. And I will swear to you that it was yesterday Karen and I were married. And I will doubly swear to you that all of us just started having kids last week. The church needs Christians who are living the gospel now. Because life flies ahead at supersonic speed. We need to have life now, not sometime in the future. Not I'll get around to it. We need it now. Because before you know it, it's gone. He says, everything is given, everything we need for life and godliness is now. Godliness, Christ-likeness, so that we can escape the corruption that is in the world that comes from our lust. At least the first century Greeks knew this world was corrupt. Most Americans don't. But Christianity never knows a relationship with God without understanding that there is a transformation in our heart and soul as well. You know, you can't have a relationship with God without a transformation of our soul and our life. Life and godliness, Christ-likeness. And Peter says, that true knowledge that these guys are offering you will not transform you. It will not transform you. Only Jesus can transform you. So, you'd only know God through Jesus Christ, and when you really know God through Jesus Christ, you have all the resources you need to fill the ache, the hole in your heart. How does that apply to us? Well, let me give you some applications before we take the Lord's Supper real quick. Number one, we need to take by faith that this is true. We need to take by faith what the big fisherman says to us, and we tend to downplay Peter. We tend to think of Peter as the pot-bellied fisherman, the good old boy with a stogie who saunters into a fishing shop just looking for another lure. That's not Peter. Peter spoke Aramaic. He spoke Greek. It would take time to show you how in this text he deals with technical Greek ideas. This guy comes so close to speaking the language of the heretics, but he doesn't. Because God in his wisdom had filled this guy with something really special to say to us. He says, I was there at the resurrection. I was there when the rest of the disciples left that one day, when a whole bunch left. And Jesus turned to us and he said, are you guys going to leave too? And we turned to him and he said, to whom should we go? Where are we going to go? You got the words of eternal life. There's no place else to go. You and I have to take this by faith. That Jesus is all we need and that there is no place else to go. Because what happens is that we get cooking in our Christian life and then God doesn't do exactly what we want him to do. We pray. You get counsel. You pray without ceasing. You get your small group praying for you. I'm praying for you. And here's what you want right here. And God doesn't do it. And in time, what happens? Add a little pain into that recipe. What happens is that you begin to say, you know, God is there, and I'm still going to go to church, and I read the Bible, and all that kind of stuff. But our whole walk with God is really kind of dead. Not much is going on. We're kind of dissatisfied and dead, just waiting for Jesus to come back. Or not even waiting. What we need to do is take this by faith, and then we need to realize that all we need for our life is right here. What probably is happening is we're saying this. We're saying, Father, here it is. Here it is. It's right here on the table. Right here. Right here. There it is. Then your arms get tired. There it is. And what he's saying is, hey, it's over here. Pete, it's over here. Pete, it's over here. And our problem is we simply are looking in the wrong place. It's all there. It's all here. It's just that we are so locked into our box of what we want and our way, we can't even hear him. And we're so busy, we can't even listen to the Spirit's voice. Isn't Rick Warren said that if we cut out one 30-minute TV show a day, you'd read the Bible through in 2 years or a year? Two times in a year. There it is. It's amazing. We don't have time to sit. We're too busy. Cut out two things out of your life this week. I know it can't be done. Yes, it can. You sit on the back porch. We've got to listen to him because he's saying it's all here. He's just not listening. As you take communion today, I want it to speak loudly to you. I want you to remember that we take this sacrament, and when we say sacrament, we mean that something spiritual actually can take place in the midst of uniting our faith with these visible and physical symbols. We take the body, we take the blood of Jesus, not in a transubstantiation kind of way. The elements don't change, but we change as we take them and remember, hey, Jesus is still here. He's still alive, still at work. All of the blessings of the heavenly places are mine right now. Everything for life and godliness right here. Lord, open my eyes so I can see it. And I'm not just teaching you stuff. I'm beginning to experience this more and more. When I give up my ideas, and we get to His, like that song, then you begin to see you have more than you need already, right now. Let's bow our heads, hearts in prayer. As our elders come forward, if you don't know Christ, all I want to say to you today is that we do not have it all together, and we're not perfect. We still sin, but we have found the answer to our deepest longings in life. And as we pass the elements, the bread and the cup, we ask you not to take the sacrament because it won't mean anything for you. What we ask you to do is to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. For your sins and guilt and shame to overcome your past, as well as to give you a life that means something here. Yeah, even Mike Tyson could start over if he found Jesus. It's not too late. And so we ask you, if you don't know Christ, to, by faith, take him into your life. Receive him as your Savior and as your master, as your leader. And the next time you take the sacrament with us. Risen Savior, our Lord Jesus, we come to you. And we thank you that you have secured for us everything we need for life and godliness. And so, Lord, we ask you to open our minds and hearts to it. And now as we take of your bread, that through our faith, you would speak to us. Right now, begin that process of helping us see what you are offering to us. Thank you for giving your body, that it would be possible for us to reconnect with the Father. For we pray in your holy name.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org, and our phone number is 407-699-8211.